Hey, everybody, welcome to Make Me Boo Boo Boo
Boom.
All right, in 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm the host.
You didn't say stand-up comedian. Stand-up comedian
in
the host.
3, 2, 1. Use it all, Andy. Hey, everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host.
Hey. There it is.
Of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa is my lovely wife and co-host, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
And producer Andy.
Hello.
Good to see all of you. That took me 3 tries on the intro because I just flew in from Texas. Woo. Yeehaw, everybody. Give me the sweet, sweet nectar. Thanks for listening, everybody. We got a hot, hot episode for you.
That's right.
We got some weekend recaps. We're going to talk about power outages. We're going to talk about aging. We're going to talk about IKEA. We're going to talk about potty training. We're going to talk about Mel going back to high school for a day and or none of that if I don't feel like it.
Perfect.
I don't know if Mel's going to turn on the clock or not for this episode, but she never. I don't even know why.
Why do we even have?
Why do we even have this thing?
It already turned off.
Listen, yeah. Melissa.
That's the one thing I have to do.
I don't even blame you right now because we're all grieving. We are all grieving right now the loss of pumpkin scones. Did you hear that?
I did. I did hear that.
I had not heard that.
Too bad.
Starbucks discontinued the pumpkin scone?
Yeah.
Did
it after,
did
like,
Santa discontinue the elves?
After 2.5 decades or something? No, I'm serious. I used to get those in college.
Personally, I think I'd be more upset if they discontinued the pumpkin bread.
Really?
Like the little cake bread slice, like the little loaf. Like that to me is like an all-year-round treat.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
It was just, I think it's a Northwest thing.
I don't think
scones,
that's true.
Scones are a Northwest thing.
I mean, they still have scones. Scones are, like,
yes,
way off.
Yes,
yes. You're thinking of the Puyallup Fair having scones, but that scones are not a particular
well,
to the Northwest.
That
scones are everywhere, baby.
No, no, no. What I'm saying is they're not a big SoCal thing. They're bigger in Washington State, Southern California, and I understand like that pumpkin bread probably tastes better than a pumpkin scone, but just
but it's not as
nostalgia state.
But its nostalgia doesn't taste as good. Its memories don't taste as good.
And so this is a sad fall for me.
That's a also, I haven't had a pumpkin scone in 5 years.
I just want like one. I want one to kick off
fall
season. Yeah. And my sister, we were texting and she was like, "This is a copycat recipe." And I was like, "I'm not going to make scones."
No, no, nobody wants to make
There's
scones.
There's like 2 different icings
that
you have to make. I'm not going to do it. But
every once in a while, it's like when a business goes out of town in your restaurant, like, "Oh, I love that place. When was the last time you went?" Ooh.
Yeah, we were really supporting them.
I guess this is my fault.
Exactly.
I guess this one's on me. I take full responsibility that the pumpkin scone and Boomer's mini golf is gone. That's on me.
It's a sad moment.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Die.
Yeah, let the past die, says Kylo Ren. Anyways, thanks for tuning in, everybody. For those of you that went to shows this last week, the last 2 weeks, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So many shows. In a little bit of a reprieve, go on vacation. At least, it's not vacation, but it's significantly easier. I mean, it's literally less than half the amount of work. It's like...
What is?
When I'm opening for Taylor, I'm doing less time. Mm-hmm. There's less pressure, you know.
You're not paying for everything.
No. No. Fantastic. I do have a couple one-offs before I kick back up in December. I'm going to be in New Richmond, Wisconsin, which is right outside of St. Paul, on September 28th. And then October 13th, I'm going to be in Vancouver at the Motton. So you guys can check that out. And then December, we kick back up. And this is what the dates are looking like, everybody. Phoenix, Las Vegas, Cleveland, Cincy, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Indy. Then we go to January. That was all December. Then we go to January, Brooklyn, Philly, February, Portland. Oh, I messed that up. Kansas City is in January as well, as is St. Louis. Who runs this website? It's me. February is also D.C. That just got added. Grand Rapids, the 22nd through 24th, and then in March, Spokane. And then we're going to add one more. That's it. There's one more.
All right.
And I'm not gonna give you any hints. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but if you were to guess, I bet you could figure it out. If you were to just make any guesses about...
Where did this guy go?
What city has this guy not toured? What particular city does he have an affinity for that he would probably end this tour on?
But Dustin, you were just in Tacoma.
Oh, but I mean, Tacoma... No, I'm not... I mean... Why'd you end it?
You can just literally cut it out.
You ruined the whole bit.
This is a riff.
You ruined that whole bit. You ruined everything. I purposely didn't say the state, the location.
I just think that people are going to be like, oh, he's just in Tacoma, so it's not.
Has your power come back on since Sunday? Your personal
Barely.
Power?
Barely.
Barely. It's Seattle, guys. I'm going to be in Seattle. anyways, let's do a little weekend recap. I was out gallivanting in the Texas and Oklahoma. The run of, I hit them all so hard the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And went to San Antonio for two shows. Do we need to start over? Or is that all right?
No, it's fine.
You guys, if this podcast starts getting a little warmer, it's just because we turned the AC off. We're all lagging today.
Yeah.
Everybody. And I'm the only one who should be lagging. What's your guys' deal?
Please.
Huh?
Labor Day weekend.
Oh, the extra day off?
Do you think that's a day off?
Good point.
It is called Labor Day. What do you think we were doing?
It's got to be awful, like, for a mom that has, like, gives birth on Labor Day, right?
Yeah.
Every doctor, every dad.
Lives that down.
Talk about a Labor Day. Huh? Huh?
It was a double Labor Day for you.
Yeah.
Especially if it was twins.
Heyo, double Labor Day. Someone call the union.
The newspaper is coming out.
Anyways, San Antonio, Houston, OKC, fantastic. Thank you. Oh, and Austin, you were all wonderful. Thanks for coming out to all those shows. We did two in San Antonio. We did three in Houston. We did one in OKC, two in Austin. They were all great. This last run, I've done 15 shows in 13 days. You guys sold out like eight of them. It's fantastic. Thank you guys for doing it. I'm quite tired. A couple highlights. Went to Merrick Coffee in San Antonio. Justin there, he became a fan because I wore a different Merrick hat in some video. Mm-hmm. We discovered Merrick. I would tell you, but I took you there.
Deep Elm.
And Deep Elm, the area in Dallas. And they're all over Texas. Fantastic. Nice. Really, really good stuff. Gave us a tour of the roastery. It was great. As with Steve Rogers, he told me, he goes, yeah, I went out to like a, when we were in Costa Rica, to like where the beans are, like on the farm. And I was like, oh, was that interesting? He was like, I've never been more bored. I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty boring. When we were in Kauai, we were like, oh, should we go to the Kona thing? And then the more we looked at it, it was like, yeah, that doesn't sound fun. And he's like, they don't give you coffee till the end. And yeah. That was the nice thing about Justin's tour of the roastery. We walked in, he's like, do you guys want some coffee? And there's some donuts here. You're like, well, this was worth my time. Thank you so much. So I love Merrick Coffee.
That when my family went to Hawaii,
yeah,
we went to like the Dole, like,
yeah,
here's all the pineapple.
Yeah, cool.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what it had in my head, but,
yeah,
you know, as a child,
yeah,
I was underwhelmed.
I mean, I would be bored now, too. I'm bored in an art museum. I'm bored in any of that. I'm like,
oh, this is cool.
I'm going up to the paintings like they're TikToks. Like, can I flip up?
Swipe.
Can I go to the next one? How do I go? Like, don't touch this. Don't touch this.
Let me touch it.
Sensory experience, right?
That's why I like exhibits so much.
Which I sent you one that I want to check out in New York.
Because it's like, where do we go next?
Yeah.
Like, up, down, sideways. Like,
yeah.
It's more immersive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know. Yeah.
Better for a kid to, you can't really take a kid to an art museum unless you'd like to see them to see all the genitalia.
The classics.
Oh, you haven't seen this much genitalia since a trip to the zoo.
Or a farm.
Or a farm of any type. There's a lot of, when you take a little kid to the zoo, there's a lot of like, they're wrestling. I thought we were coming to see some lions and tigers. Instead, we're explaining the birds and the bees. I didn't. What's that monkey throwing? Ah! This isn't as wholesome as I thought it would be. I don't know. And then you take your teens to the zoo, and you're like, oh, cool, you hate me, but there's animals around. Same vibe as normal. You're like, leaning against the glass with the old gorilla, be like, you know what I'm going through, right, gorilla? You've seen it.
Yeah.
You've dealt with this before. You've raised some of these monkeys.
It's adorable. Passage of time.
I'm over zoos. I like zoos, but I don't know.
Are you?
No, I like zoos a lot.
Yeah.
What I don't like about zoos is how they structure them like grocery stores where they put the stuff you want in the back.
Yeah.
And you have to walk by all the crap to go see what you really want to see. You have to walk by like 8 varieties of aardvarks, which are essentially the asparagus of the animal kingdoms, so you can go see the panda that you're here to see.
The tapirs. You know, like the deers. Oh, that's a different deer.
Yeah.
That's an African deer.
Yeah.
You're like, cool. Where's the good stuff?
Yeah. Nobody's here to see that. And then you get there, you see like the sleeping lion, and you're like, well, that's what I wanted to do too. I just wanted to lay down. How come I have to pay to watch you lay down when all I wanted to do was lay down?
We walked like a mile and a half around the elephants to get to the capybaras.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was all to get to the capybaras.
To the capybaras, which, by the way, that is an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. There's like, I will say as an adult, and maybe this happens every I don't remember this happening in our generation, but like, I feel like new animals are coming out of the woodwork right now.
Yeah, I think it's with social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, because axolotls
came out of nowhere.
Got really popular.
And capybaras. Capybaras have a whole song. Cue it, Andy.
Yeah.
Capybara, 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 capybara.
So I think, you know, we had like Animal Planet, stuff like that.
I know.
But I think the internet kind of, it's like design like furniture and. Mm-hmm. You know, like owls were really popular for a while.
Yeah, but we always knew about owls.
Yellow and gray.
Owls were in Disney
color
movies.
Color combination. So I think animals now come into trend.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right. Animals are trendy now.
Because it was like woodland animals for a while. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
like
put a foxes. Bird on everything.
Put a bird on it.
Yeah. Foxes, owls.
I know. I just
and now
like
it's like
they're discovering new ones.
Capybaras. Yeah. And
have you guys seen kawakas?
What's a kawaka?
They're like down in some subtropic island. They're only on this one island. They look at these tiny little like teddy bears, and there's tons of accounts dedicated to them, and they just hang out with you like at the restaurants, and they're just all around. And
oh, that's
like,
cool.
They're outrageously trendy and adorable.
Yeah. It is.
I like those up.
It's and then there'll be a kid that's their favorite animal out of nowhere. Totally. And like, what was your favorite?
That's like a deep dive that Claire would go on.
Yeah,
and then she would tell you like all the facts about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's about to discover that animal.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, no, but you'll ask a kid these days. You'll be like, "What's their favorite animal?" And they'll be like, axolotl. You're like, "I think that's an 8-sided." Shape. That's not.
That's geometry.
That's not an animal.
It's an octagon.
Yeah, we could thank Wildkrats actually for
That's true.
My
deep
son
dives.
Is definitely a animal expert now because of Wildkrats. His favorite animals are the most absurd animals you could possibly imagine.
You know what my favorite thing about Wildkrats is how when they become cartoons, they lose like 40 pounds.
They're like, our cartoons are like awesome.
They're like TikTok filters.
Yeah. But it's just a dad throwback. I think they've gotten to the point where like, no, make it look like when we started this show.
Yo, that's funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would do the same thing. If you're going to animate yourself.
You're like, is that what I look like?
Yeah.
The original animations. Yeah. It's like, no.
Yeah, I know. That's why I've always been hesitant to do like the family caricature type things. You'd be like.
Fair.
You're like, you think my nose is that big?
Yeah, what? Because they have to over-accentuate something.
Yeah.
Yours would probably be your teeth.
Yeah.
Like, you know how, like, the big smile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for pointing out the flaw. Well, yours will be that huge forehead.
Sorry, I'm thinking like a character.
Lift the bangs. Oh, you're such an artist.
I once hired a caricaturist.
You're sassy,
you know?
Right? You're sassy.
You know?
I've been gone a lot.
That was for my high school prom that I planned.
Yeah.
So just keep throwing that out there. The line was through the roof. That's why we didn't get a caricature. Dustin.
Yeah.
But I could draw one if I needed to.
Yeah.
Of you.
If you need to.
Yeah.
If comedy dries up, if you need to side hustle.
Start freelancing.
At set up a thing at street fairs and farmers markets across San Diego.
I'm on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just.
Now we're talking.
Hone my craft.
Oh. So anyways, Merritt Coffee was great. Thanks for the tour, Justin. If you're in the Texas area, I know they're in San Antonio. Oh, plus they just got in the San Antonio airport, which I love a good airport coffee. I went to one today. Moncino, I think is what it's called. There's like a monk-themed one in Austin that I always go to. So
okay. Great.
I have a tiki update.
Let's hear it.
So I'm new to tiki. I'm in my tiki era. And I'm learning on the fly here.
You're asking a bunch of questions.
I'm trying to get to know it. Yeah. I'm trying to go. If there's a night out on the road where we have like an earlier show and there's like a night, I'm like, let's go find a tiki bar.
Yeah.
Let's go do that. And I'm like,
that's what I do over the weekend too.
No, I'm pretty sure you just pound a couple beers from what. That's what you told me. I pound a couple, but that's not bad. Sip and enjoy. Treat yourself. Sorry, pound is a heavy word.
I've been like on a non-alcoholic beer kick.
Yeah, but then the power went out.
And then the power went out for 12 hours.
And you're like, well, they're going to turn warm. I can't let them go bad. I can't. Yeah, you're like, you're putting everything into coolers. You're like, yeah, I keep the beers out. Yeah.
Open that up.
Yeah, yeah. And what I realized is there are multiple varieties of tiki bars. And there is your classic, nice, authentic tiki bar. And then there is your, like,
divey?
Equivalent of, like, a Senor Frogs type tiki bar. You know what I mean by that? Where you're like, oh, these are not good tiki drinks.
Yeah.
This is just their theme.
Exactly.
And they are so sugary.
Yeah.
They're just that they're undrinkable.
It's just sugary. Like lemonade and it's the fly.
Yeah.
I think. It's like lemonade and Malibu
rum.
It's
what gives it a bad name.
It is that's what I realized. Yeah, you're like, "Oh, this is why people like you go they're the tiki bars where like Nelly's playing." You know. And you're like, "Oh, this isn't
it." So it's Cancun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very
river.
Very, and that's where I went, was at a river walk in OKC. And as opposed to the one I went to Tulsa, which was like very, you know, as soon as you walk
in. So there's
in.
Like a hipster tiki scene.
You can also kind of tell based on what the bartenders are wearing. Like, and like, oh, like, again, it's very resorty. It's very touristy. It's probably, if there's one in Gaslamp, if there's one on 6th Street in Austin, if there's one in Broadway in Nashville, like, oh, this is like the touristy. So I'm right about this. My theory here.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the exception, I mean, I guess like in, but there's more authentic tiki bars popping up in legitimately cool areas. Because I think it's like high-end craft bartenders want to honor it and do it right.
Yeah.
Because like False Idol and Grasker are both in San Diego that are in like Pacific Beach and like in Gaslamp.
Okay.
So it's like, and those are like.
Oh, that's good to know.
Those are like world-renowned at this point. You know, so it kind of, but it's all, you'll find it like in just the higher-end spaces, you're going to find good authentic tiki bars.
Right.
Or way outside of town and not near the beach,
which
or
is
water.
Like when you were like, I was looking at where the Vegas ones were, you're like, these aren't by the strip.
No,
these are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An escapade.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Because they used to be in old dive bars.
Yeah.
You know, they just used to be off the beaten path and you kind of had to find them. And that was kind of the fun of it.
Yeah. No, I went and I took a sip and I was like, I'm going to drink this because I'm not a bad person. But I'm going to have a beer after this. You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to pound a couple beers like Meltown.
Yeah.
I will tell one quick story of people like heckle stories, so I'll tell a heckle story.
Okay.
Houston late show. Houston shows are great, is it right? Comedy Club. Great room. First two shows were great. And then late show Saturday was the last one to sell out. And that's always the one where you're like, okay, yeah, how many people are here to see me versus here to see a comedy show? Just both are important. You want to win new fans. You want to test the material in front of people who don't like you. And there was a table. It's always a table. There was a table, and they were loud, and they were pretty disruptive during the host and then pretty disruptive during the feature, too. And they'd been warned a couple times. And it's always weird when you're the staff, because no one wants to throw somebody out. Like, none of the staff want to do that.
Nobody wants to do it.
And it's
confrontational.
And it's a big scene to kick people out, especially if they're near the stage. So I go up on stage, and it's really kind of one ringleader.
Steve tell you?
Yeah, we're all watching it the whole time.
Yeah.
And then Steve goes like, yeah, that guy won't shut up. And so I get on stage and I don't even do the first joke before this guy's like, whoa, whoa, and he's just like pointing random places. And then immediately like, I'm like, okay, it's drunk. It's not hostile. It's not positive or negative. It's drunk. And I've used this metaphor before. Dealing with a drunk heckler is like moving a mattress. Even when you got it, you never really got it. You can lose it at any time because you can look at a drunk in the face and go, shut up or I'm going to kick you out of here. And none of it hits. You're just...
Yeah, all the social cues.
They're all gone. So I see the guys, he's pointing and I was like, what are you... Are you here? Where you at? Huh? Like, are you with us? You know, and that's like getting some laughs. And then I'm realizing that it's annoying people around him. And he goes, Leo. And he like pointed to the last comedian who did a joke about being a Leo. And I was like, do you know another comic came up? Did you like, I'm a different person than the last one. He's like, wee. And then he like, okay. So I'm like, hey, whatever this is, you just have
call
to like,
back.
Yeah. I was like, hey man, you got to like, just shut up. I don't care. It's not about me. I'm dead. You can't hurt me. I feel nothing. You cannot hurt me. It's about them. You have to shut up. You're ruining the show for everybody. I'm an $18 ticket. And everybody's clapping at that point. Because
they have your back.
They're with me. They don't want this idiot ruining the show for them. I do the next joke. It hits. And he does it again. And then I go like, okay, hey, man. You just got to get out of here. Like, and I motioned to the staff, which is what they're kind of looking for. And I've never told the staff to kick somebody out, but I am selling enough tickets now that you can do that.
It's nice that it works.
It's nice that it works because I will tell you, even on this tour, I've had some drunks where I've gone, there's not enough of my people here to kick them out. Like I have to.
You had the crowd on your side and the staff on your side.
Yeah, I've sold out three shows.
Yeah.
I have to do... It's also so early in my set that I'm like, I can't do this for 55 minutes. I can't. Yeah. And I can't... Like, but I had a late show in Sacramento where I was like, there's four people who know me here and the other 50 are just out. And so I kind of have to win on stage over them. And I did. But this one, I was like, all right, you guys got to go. And everyone starts clapping. And then they like... But that's the most uncomfortable part, because to get a table of drunks out the door takes about a minute or two. And that's a very long minute.
And then if they're hostile or they won't leave, and then you have to reset the room.
What's funny is I go, all right, you gotta go. And this guy starts clapping because everybody else is clapping.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Which was such an indicator that you got to go, man. Like, you gotta get out of here. Like, and as they leave, what do they say? They always say the same thing. We're just trying to have a good time. And sometimes I feel, like, bad because I'm like, dude, this guy's in his, like, 50s. Like, this sucks. Like, this is your night.
He's not going to make... A comedy show is not the place.
No. You know, there is no place for that.
No.
And
your night is over.
So the way that Riot works is there's a comedy club upstairs and then downstairs is the bar. And after the show, there's always like an after the show because they never go quietly. Yeah. And he shoved a waiter. down.
Oh no!
And it spilled some drinks, and like the security guard apparently had like his brass knuckles out and was ready to go.
Oh my gosh! I have a comparison. Mm-hmm. This sounds just like when parents would get kicked out of Little League games.
1,000%. That's exactly right.
Because they will not go without a fight.
No, no, because you're so embarrassed, right? That's what it is.
No one just says, you're right, I got to go.
Never in the history of dads being ejected from a Little League have they gone, my bad, you're right.
I'm going to stop talking now and get in my car and drive away.
No.
I'll fight someone in the parking lot.
Yeah, no, no.
On the way out.
No, what they do.
They wait in the parking lot.
Yeah, no, what they do is go stand in the bed of their F-350 and flip the bird to the umpire, who's also their friend, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, and they're like, well, you said I had to leave, but I'm in the parking lot.
Yeah, they're not even like, F you, ump. They're like, F you, Jerry.
Jerry.
This is why we kicked you out of the fantasy football league. Like, you're all peers. You know who loves when you get kicked out of a baseball game and is really grateful for how much you love your child? They really love that.
That's a special moment for them.
That's really. And you know what? They'll always remember that. And they'll always tell that story to a therapist the rest of their life.
Little League is, Andy, you're almost there. Fifth and sixth grade Little League is so precious because the boys are like starting to go through puberty.
Yeah.
And they're emotional. And so they'll like start crying. Mm-hmm. Kind of like when they did like in pre-K and kindergarten. Like it's all back.
Yeah.
And it's like so sad and cute and sweet. Yeah. And it's I'm glad we're done with that stage of life because it's there's a lot of emotions.
There,
the parents and the kids. Whew.
There are
the
Little League stands. Mm-hmm. Man, there are so many like loser dads that like peaked in high school and hate their jobs and have not taken care of themselves, yelling at a child for not trying hard enough. And you're like, are you missing the irony on this, buddy? Are you missing this? You are not in the position.
He's not consistent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You're like, he's 10.
They're like yelling at their kid to control themselves as they get ejected from a Little League game. Have some self-control out there. Keep your head in the game. Stay disciplined.
And that was like every Little League board was like, hey, you can't have a keg at opening day. We're going to lose our license. And then there's always kegs. And that's the kind of double standard you should set for your children.
You told me that there was a pretty worked up person at a sporting event this week. And it was like 8:30 on Sunday morning, which is like a really special kind of rate. I mean, goodness gracious.
Well, we have some new sports in the works. And our daughter's in a new volleyball league and with a new team. And I don't know. I think the watching the parents on the sideline can just be just as fun as watching the games. And he was just, I don't know, I think they're just new to the sport. He stood and paced and like ran his hand through his hair with the cap, and then the mom was like at the net standing and like big facial expressions about every like bump, set, spike. And I was like, whoa, guys, relax a bit. I mean, I can get anxious and panicky during sports too, but like I try and move.
Yeah.
Like, but not, maybe just don't show so much.
Handle it. Like,
Cause your kids are watching.
Yeah.
Like they're already nervous, but like both of them were so nervous.
No, handle it like a grown up and take it out on your kid in private later.
Well, it was like, no, but like, I don't think you can react. I don't think you can react that much when they mess up. Like, come on. You know, like, I think you can overreact when they like
yeah.
Spike or get a serving. But
one of my favorite moments of Mel all time is that she doesn't know anything about wrestling, which why would you? But Joel was like getting pinned by another wrestler. And she was going, keep going, Joel. Keep going. Because you didn't know the things to say yet. You didn't know to be like, bridge.
I still don't know what to say. I don't actually. Joel sent me an Instagram video where, because in wrestling, you know, the kids get on, are almost pinned. And then everyone yells the same thing. Like, bridge.
Bridge. Yeah.
Like, or shoot. Like when nobody will shoot. Like, shoot.
Yeah.
And this kid, they're all screaming at him, and he just looks at the camera at his friend. He's like, I hear you. It's so classic. Because, like, everyone's like, if I say this louder for the 100th time, he's going to hear me.
It's very funny.
Yeah. Actually, the best, I had all the back to school nights last week. One of my favorite moments was one of Claire's fourth grade teachers was explaining how sometimes on Friday they get a little free time. Mm-hmm. And that was because he takes kids who didn't pass the test or need help, like, and tutors them.
Right.
And this, bless this mom, she was like, well, what are the other kids doing? What are they doing during free time? What do they have access to? And this, he's like, I got like checkers and, you know, a couple board games on the wall here. And she was just not having it. And it was, we all kept straight faces and got through it, but it was just a gem of a moment. Yeah.
I mean, what do you want them to say? What do you want to have them in there? Can they have some math sheets out for them? Just to, I don't want my kid to have a moment of relaxation at school.
Free time.
Yeah. How dare they? How dare they?
I pay for this public school. Nothing is free.
How does this translate to life?
I don't think if you've hit that age, by the way, if you haven't worked that out, you're probably not gonna, right?
I think perhaps like first time parent. I don't know. Like, it was like, it was touching. It was like, she cares so much.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's true.
That this was the hill she was going to die on.
Yeah.
It was the Friday free time.
Yeah. It's like our cross country this year. There's a lot of new parents who don't know anything about
a lot of underclassmen.
So So they're not. Yeah. You're right. You're like, oh, this is cute.
And they're really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like training a new employee. You're like, oh, gosh. Settle in.
You'll assimilate.
Yeah. I had this. We checked into the hotel on
Thursday.
OKC and on Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have the credit card from the comedy club or whatever. And I was like, do they have a card on file? She's like, oh, I don't see anyone. She's like, but this is my first week. And I've been out of the workforce for 20 years. I've been at home raising babies, and I've never had a job with a computer before.
What a sweetheart.
And I wasn't mad at her at all. I can't get mad in that moment. I'm like, why'd they leave you?
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's amazing. You're free. A job without computer?
And I was thinking about it. I was like, I mean, my first job didn't have a computer. Like, I had a register, you know, at AMC. Mm-hmm. There was no computer system, though. It was, you know, your basic, like, enter in the numbers and a cash. I mean, there's some basic little computer system in there.
Cash drawer.
There's no screen.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I've never had a job with a computer before.
That terrifies me. I worked at Disneyland for a hot minute. And was a ride operator for like a few weeks.
Yeah.
Only a few weeks.
Okay.
And it's kind of terrifying when something's so oversimplified.
Yeah.
Where the buttons are like, okay, that makes it go. That makes it stop. That's how you open the gates. You got to look at that person. They have to give you a thumbs up. And like that rudimentary relationship feels terrifying.
Yeah.
All I have to do to screw all of this up is go at the wrong time.
Yeah. Also, I'm 20.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's like all the SeaWorld employees. Yeah.
Good for her, though. She's getting out. She's a good job because she's probably like, I'm going to get some free hotel nights.
She's going to figure it out.
She is, and she's going to get some free hotel nights.
Absolutely.
Which is a good...
It's a good perk.
It's a good perk. It's like when someone goes in as a flight attendant or something like that. You're like, yeah, go get a job.
See the world.
It's my plan. Mm-hmm. 10 more years, put Melissa back in the workforce. What are you thinking?
Oh, I work.
I know, now I'm so okay. This is actually a nice little segue.
Okay.
Because you and I have been talking about... As you get older, hopefully, of course you're growing as a person, but really what you want to do is just, like, grow in, like, self-awareness and, like, body awareness.
Okay.
Like, I do feel like you and I talk about, you and I say regularly, like, we're monitoring, like, you'll say, like, I'm like, what's going on? You're like, I'm out of estrogen.
Right.
And I'll be like, I'm out of dopamine. Like, yeah. We're using, like, terms like that. You know, you're like, It is kind of a nice part of the modern era that we, like, have read some books and we know some basic things. You're like, why do you feel this way? Like, oh, my brain.
Yeah.
My brain is out of the thing that gives it energy and interest. Okay. You know?
Yeah. And, I think
and you're like, I'm out of estrogen. And I'm like, yeah, I know what estrogen is. I definitely
understand. That's the wisdom that comes with midlife.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe. Hopefully.
I will say that every day of midlife feels like I'm just trying to always question, do I need more or less coffee?
Mm-hmm.
That's like the balance that I'm usually feeling. I'm like, man, I'm so tired. I need coffee or is it because of the coffee?
It's the problem and also the answer.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you tired? Coffee. What's the solution? Coffee. Like when God invented coffee. The angels were like, is this going to give him energy? And God was like, at first.
Yeah.
LOL. Then it's going to make him crash so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Another, this has been a shift in my middle-aged.
Okay.
Is as a younger man, I would walk through an airport and I would see someone stretching and I'd be like, what a dinosaur of a human.
Yeah.
And now in middle age, I'd be like, I got to get that in. I got to get that in.
You got to do it when you can.
That is the motto of middle age. You got to get it in when you can.
Yeah.
What do you got to get? It. All of it. You got to get your stretching. You got to get your workouts.
Greens.
You got to get your greens. You got to get your time with your spouse. You got to get your time with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get it. You got to get your vacations. You got to get your date nights.
Your meal prep.
You gotta get it in when you can.
Appointments.
Yep. You gotta get your stretch. If you gotta, why are you stretching in an airport? Because you gotta get it in when you can.
It's the time I have. It's true.
Why are you doing calf raises while you brush your teeth? Because you gotta get it in when you can.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Why are you pounding 72 ounces of water on a drive to school pickup? Because you gotta get it in when you can. You just got to get it in when you can. That's the motto of middle age. Got to get it in when you can.
Yeah, because you don't have any time.
Yeah.
You have no
Why
time.
Are you having a third child? Because you got to get it out while you can.
That window is closing.
Got to get it. That's. I want to sell it. We should sell a shirt. Got to get it in when you can. Middle aged. And then what? And then you just got to get in the coffin.
And then you can't.
And then you can't. Then...
Until you can't.
Yeah, got to get it in when you can until you can't. No. I'm going to move on because my dopamine levels are dropping. Melissa, I am always worried about internet safety.
Yeah, especially with our kids.
Especially for you. I'm worried about what you are looking at, which is why I want to get Bark put on your phone.
Oh, boy.
Your phone, your laptop, your pager. I need to get Bark on
Bluetooth.
Your pager.
Yeah.
On your Bluetooth.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the little one in your ear.
Apple CarPlay.
As many of you guys know, we are parents. As many of you know, you all know we are parents.
Guys, we're parents.
We're parents. And internet safety is, I don't know if there's a thing that parents think about more. Anymore.
It is so important.
It is
so hard to keep track of.
Yeah. And thankfully, insert Bark Technologies. And then a hero comes along with Bark Technologies. to monitor your kid's phone, and there's a new Bach phone too. I didn't hit that. I missed that one, but before that, I was crushing that. That was good. Pretty
that
good.
Was good.
Mm-hmm. Bark Technologies is a friend of the pod, and we love them so much. There's a couple services that we've used with them over the year. The phone, the monitoring of your kid's phone, where they send you alerts and what they're looking at, and they have mm-hmm. different mm-hmm. levels and things, whatever it may be. It's fantastic. You're not spying on your kid. There's just certain things where Bark goes, hey, you might want to see this, and they show
check
it to
out
you.
This text.
And even better, simplify your life, ladies and gentlemen. Bark has a new phone.
That's right. And it doesn't look like a kid's phone.
No,
it's black.
No.
It's sleek. Yeah. Phones and technology is improving, and this phone grows with your kid.
Oh.
So maybe your kiddo is, you know, kind of inching yeah. into like yeah. an Instagram account.
Yeah.
Or wants to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And you want to give him some training wheels
right.
to get there.
We recently let our kid get on Instagram, and it mm-hmm. was because of Bark.
That's right.
We let our kid, because we're less concerned, and because he's 15 and we're done parenting. But... So tell them, but we also, you know, we don't choose any sponsor for the pod. We like sponsors that make sense and we
mesh
use in our
us.
Lives, and Bark
mm-hmm.
is one of them. And the new Bark phone is something that we're really excited about, as well as Bark Technology is what we use constantly. And we have some promo codes and we have some details. Hit them, Melissa. Give them those sweet, sweet details.
All right. So you can manage screen time. You can block websites and apps.
Mm-hmm.
You can monitor text, email, YouTube, and 30 apps and platforms.
And he's excited.
You can get child psychologist advice and tips,
mm-hmm.
even ways to approach kids when they mm-hmm. Mess up.
So how do they sign up and how do they save some money, Melissa?
Let me tell you. if you click on the link in the show notes and enter Don't Make Me,
mm-hmm.
all one word, Don't Make Me,
mm-hmm.
you are going to get 7 days of a free trial
Boom.
For the Bark Premium subscription.
And?
As well as 15%
off for the lifetime of your subscription, baby.
That's right.
Mel got a workout in when she could this week, because what Mel realized is that, I mean, this is a great example of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you assembling that IKEA furniture? Because you got to get a workout in when you can.
Yeah, well, because I was painting
yeah.
Friday, and so that was a workout, and then I had to assemble IKEA furniture, and we did the gaming desk really fast.
Uh-huh.
Gamer desk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge desk.
Is it?
So easy. Yeah, super quick. And then I got a Malm twin bed. And that thing, I did every step wrong. I had to undo every step. And by the end, you're screwing in these screws that just like, what's it called when you just, a screw no longer grips?
Strips.
Strips.
Yeah.
Yeah, these screws are terrible. And by the end of it, I had a yoga mat down for my niece. And by the end of it, I was like, Joel, because he works on his skateboards.
Yeah.
So he's actually, and he grew up making Legos. So
yeah.
he's very good at this
yeah.
stuff. And he finally came.
He's got your brain, baby.
Back from all of his activities. And I was like, I need you to help me with these screws because like my back is about to give out. Like, I can't screw these. And so it's like the beams. You know, before you put the planks.
Right, right.
Which I did not get the planks.
Yeah.
So I had to go back this morning for those.
Forgot to get the planks?
Such a hassle. And
yeah.
Yeah. And I looked up how much it would have cost to get the bed assembled.
Mm-hmm.
It was $87. And I spent like 5 hours making it yesterday.
Yeah, you got to do that moving forward.
And you can get it delivered, but that's like $50. And if you have IKEA family, you can save 5%, which I totally spent on
yeah.
everything else in
well,
the store in well, the as-is section.
Well, we're so about to redo the girls' room, so you'll just have them assemble it, right?
I don't know. I just like, in my head, when you're adding up, when you have your online cart, and then you're like, and then shipping, and then assembly, and you actually realize how much it costs. And you're
yeah.
like, no, I can do it, and my kid can help me, because he can. But he was gone all day, and then I did it, and it took me forever.
So you regret not paying for it?
See,
you're sore right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't my workout.
Yeah.
I would have regretted it with the desk, but not with the Malm bed. That
yeah.
was terrible. But before I picked you up from the airport this morning, I went to IKEA as it opened. Like, they opened the doors, and we all rushed in.
How many people were there?
50.
Okay.
And I went straight. I had four employees help me get the supplies for the mound bed.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't going to get the drawers that go underneath it, but then he has so many clothes with his thrifting business. I went back and bought more.
So wait a minute. We have there's more furniture to assemble?
Because I didn't pay to assemble the assembly fee. I was upsold.
But you bought more, so you have more to assemble.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Are you going to pay for the assembly fee for this?
Now you're
triple paying.
Well, because I bought him this clothes rack for all of his vintage clothes he sells, and it's already full.
Right.
We only have three closets in our house.
Right.
And now he has a closet and a clothes rack, and they're full.
I have not been home. I have not been home yet since the weekend. We came straight from the airport here. Yeah. That's my fancy attire here.
Yeah.
I have not, Andy, from what you heard, is the bed assembled at my house or no?
I don't think so.
It doesn't.
I think we're at about a 20%.
Is the bed assembled?
It's assembled.
Okay.
It's assembled. We have to lay down the flats.
Okay.
And then put the mattress on it.
Oh.
I would say it's not assembled.
So it's not assembled.
Well,
that's not assembled.
Yeah, because I didn't buy the slats. I didn't.
If Marvel assembled and Iron Man didn't show up.
I know. Yeah. I really wanted to be able to sleep in it last night.
But it's not assembled.
No.
So can he live? Will he sleep in that room tonight?
If we put the slats in.
So now I have to do this.
Yeah.
The slats are the clunkiest part.
Well, I'll do that part.
Yeah. The slats are like a little ladder that you throw over a boat.
I bought another IKEA bed. I can't believe I did this to us because my sister used to live in that room and she left an IKEA bed frame. It was like very janky.
Yeah.
And then your dad used it.
Yeah.
And it used to break all the time.
Yeah.
And then we got rid of it. And then I brought another IKEA bed into our house.
You rekeyed. It's back. Yeah. IKEA returns.
I don't know. I brought this upon myself.
Yeah, you got no one to blame but you on this one. I mean, I can't. I'm not judging you. I was gone. I was in no way helpful. So I own my lack of help in
when
this.
When you're buying a bed for a teenager, you're like, I don't want to spend a lot of money on this.
Yeah.
You know, like.
But I really want to spend a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I've only got a couple more years with him in the home. Let's drop 5 hours into assembling this bed.
Spent my Labor Day building IKEA furniture.
Well, I feel bad for you because the one goal for you was to get that bed, that room all assembled.
Okay.
It sounds 90% done. 70% done?
Yeah. We got this. Tonight's the night.
All I know is that I'm home for about 48 hours. So it's a very short trip. Fall is always very busy. Mm-hmm. And from what I've gathered today, I have to get to drop-offs or pickups early so we can get the Kona Ice line.
Yeah.
Painful. Take the child to therapy.
Yeah.
And then...
You're going to get the other kid.
And then assemble a bed. It's just a rockin' Tuesday. What a killer Tuesday.
You know, you missed the power outage, so count your blessings.
Well, my tiki drink was pretty sweet, so we both suffered in our own ways.
So our street never, ever loses power, but somebody
hit
an electrical pole, and we were out of power for like 10 hours. Yeah. But I had a friend who plugged in a generator to our fridge.
Oh, I had
and that was a huge save.
And you said leave the beers. I did have it wasn't for nearly as long, but the one big disruptive thing I had, I sent you that video of.
Mm-hmm.
I was like nodding off in Orange County or in Orange County in Oklahoma City, OKC, not OC, OKC. And it was like a short hour. It was a short sleep night. And as I was nodding off, the fire alarm went off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. This hotel, they didn't, there was like the light, the beep, beep, and then the intercom went, the alarm is going off. Stay near for further instructions, which is like a new thing where they're not saying like, just get out of the hotel. Okay. Which is interesting because I'm like, I mean, is there a different one for if it's a fire?
Now, did they give you any further instructions?
It turned off. But the issue was you went from nearly asleep to a
panic.
A voice and a noise. The voice was very alarming. Like, because you don't realize it's everywhere at first. You think it's just your room. And I did not sleep particularly well after that. But and I had those sweet drinks in me. And I was just, it was a tough night. It's a tough night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next week, guys, we're going to do some emails here. But just next week, we have, we're going to run a rerun next week. If you guys have any episodes that you really liked and you want to hear, shoot an email at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. But other than that, it's going to be Dealer's Choice, Andy's. And because Mel is going to be out and about and going in squares with me for a week.
Yeah.
Mom's week out.
Mm-hmm.
New York to Vegas.
I've been prepping so much.
Yeah.
We're all ready.
Yeah. Well, the bed's not ready. Let's do a couple emails and then get out of here, okay?
Great.
Okay, so this email is from Pamela.
Hey, Pamela. And
the subject is podcast comment. Okay.
That makes me anxious.
I loved your response to business or pleasure inquiry. Remember when people asked me that?
Yeah.
Hopefully a little bit of both. I have a classic response to when a waiter or waitress asks, "Do you want a box for that?" My response is to put my fists up in an old-timey boxer pose, followed by a, "I just wanted to take it home, but if this is your policy..." It's pretty good. I like that one.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I like that one.
If this is your policy, it's pretty good. I bet you, I can tell you who doesn't like that. The waiter.
The waiter.
They don't want any bits. Waiters don't want your bits, FYI.
They're like, ah.
Yes or no?
Two or one.
And they go, the best is when they get it. There they go. I will leave food on my plate just for a chance at the opportunity. My friends and family are all but done with it, but it tickles me. The thing is that it has to be asked that specific way or the joke doesn't work. Yeah, do you want this to go? Well, if that's the policy. Side note, big fan of eating the crust, and it's a part of the pizza sandwich. It's disrespectful to the pizza sandwich not to eat it. I agree with that.
Amazing.
That. Okay. Last one here. This is from Bonnie. Bonnie's a friend of the podcast and a patron. Oh, also, Jordan in Houston, thank you, too, for the recommendations for the coffee. It's great. It's fantastic. It's
awesome.
Really good. Yeah, and all the recs. And Jordan is working for Marriott right now, so I'm like, well, I could talk to you forever.
He's got a lot in common.
Yeah. Hello, Nickersons. I was hoping that you guys could offer some bad advice on how millennial parents can reduce stress and how millennial moms can spend three times more time with their kids. There you go.
Amazing, Bonnie.
Now, millennial parents can reduce stress. Hey, you got to get it in when you can.
I think we are. You got to get it in when you can.
That's the big thing. Get it in when you can. You got to get that stress in when you can. You tell me, Mel, you run a little more stress than me. Not, and I don't mean that in a virtue, moralistic, better or worse way. You're just more aware of the world's problems than me and the children's struggles than me. There's a blissful naivety.
Okay, but so bad advice.
Yeah.
So like,
I would say,
stay up late running through your brain all the scenarios of how someone you love could get hurt. You said bad advice.
Write them down, actually. Yeah. Better. Yeah, absolutely.
Just
yeah.
Like on a loop.
Yeah.
Don't solve it. Just continue it.
Bonnie, don't work on it. Let it be. It's fine. Don't learn breathing exercises. Don't stretch.
Don't do yoga.
Don't.
Yeah. Don't talk
don't
about
therapy.
It. That won't.
Don't
help.
Talk to friends about it. Don't pray about it. Don't read books that might help. Don't. Seek out community on the, don't do any of that
laughing.
Stuff. Hold it down.
Stress eat.
And drink.
Stress eat and drink.
Pound a couple of beers.
Mm-hmm. Tell your friends and family you're fine.
Uh-huh.
And your medical professional.
Never show
like, you're fine.
Never show your spouse a vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Never let them see that. Mm-hmm. Or your children. Never apologize to your children for, by the way. Never do that. Can't let them know they won on anything. And it'll be fine.
Stuff it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't handle your grief either. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
That's
no.
a big one.
No, no, no. That is for the dishes.
Keep smiling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Keep your job.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is, just keep it.
You cry at the dishes because you can say, oh, my face got splashed.
Don't speak up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how can you spend more time with your kids?
Quit your job.
Quit your job.
Don't clean your house.
Yeah.
Don't
get more involved.
Stop sleeping.
Get more involved in their school. They'll love that.
Yeah. Join the PTA.
Even better, homeschool. You want to see your kids more? Homeschool. There you go. You know, Dustin, how you barely graduated every level of education you ever got through? You should be in charge of education, Dustin. You do that. I think that's pretty good.
Don't teach them how to drive.
No, don't let
them move out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't teach them any independence.
No.
Don't try and motivate them.
Do everything for them.
Do everything for them.
Because they can't do it themselves.
Don't let them suffer the consequences of their actions.
Don't.
Cover up their errors, you know.
Just like straight, like, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good approach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never, make sure it's never their fault.
Okay.
Like, if the coach is mad at them or the teacher's upset with them, the teacher is wrong. The coach is wrong.
So just continue to pull them out of their problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can spend all the time with them.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The coaches and teachers aren't good enough for them.
That's good. That's really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye.
Hey, folks. Want to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. Ooh, that's $25 up a month. That's a big money right there. What you get is you get a special shout out on this podcast at the end right now. So, first up,
April Griffiths.
Adam Bush.
Allison Nelson.
Bonnie Galindo.
Carrie Teague.
Caroline Crimmins.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Damaris Diaz Stevens.
Dan and Chelsea Morell.
Daniel Owens.
David and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Isaac Teron.
Jason White.
Jennifer Ashley Downs.
Jessica Handhurand.
Joshua and Nikki Platt.
Jordan Lara.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Nathan and Jennifer Merritt.
Nicole Carroz.
Rachel Wilson.
Rachel Kennedy.
Robert and Nellie Capin.
Stephen Menya.
And Tiffany Payne. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.